With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Overlooked and Undercooked Special Season, Rob Schneider's Special Edition. I've just finished it. You might have been able to hear that a little bit overlapping onto the mic.
That's right. Bookended by his iconic fetch craze. This is the lowest I've been.
Tim Beck, Guy Montgomery, Day 6, Asian Mama, Mexican Kids.
Now, the reason it's called that is because he has his mama, Tim, is Asian.
Yep.
But his kids... they're Mexican, so that's where he gets the title from. I hated it. I watched it on my phone.
Yeah.
We are, for context, probably relevant, we're side saddle.
Yeah, which is rare.
I'm at Tim's house. We've watched it separately somehow, even though we're physically together, we both watched it on our phones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With wireless headphones.
I want to tell you how that went for me. So there I was, just getting a little bit of a tidy up, and... it was pretty sad because I was surrounded by like people for the first time in weeks. Couldn't talk to them. I was just in a Rob Schneider prison. And then I sat down to the barber who, there's like four people there who were cutting heads. And I got the guy who, I've had him before. He's a great hairdresser, but he speaks very, very little English at all. So, and he's always got earphones in. So I think he's listening to like music or a podcast. So not a huge conversation.
I kind of respect that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. They're a great barber. They're so cheap. God, they're cheap.
How was it, man?
It was sad. It made me sad. And when I was walking back to my house from the barber, I was like finishing the special off. And the weirdest thing happened. 3 p.m., suburban Auckland. I was walking down like a pretty main street right by the shops. And this guy who just looked like a normal dude, had a hat on, probably 45 years old, just took his dick out and started taking a piss on a tree.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is outside of the box.
So that's the context for my watch today. And then I had to finish it off a little bit just now because I hit pause while Guy sort of caught up because he's been doing other stuff. And then we got out of sync and here we are. Here's what I thought. Rob's allergies sound debilitating. This man wakes up every night...
every
like
morning.
Sneezes all the time.
It operates like clockwork every morning at 6 a.m., I believe.
Is that what he said? I thought it was like the middle of the night, but I got to admit, I'm not listening as intently as I probably should be to this
special. Is the middle of the night.
Yeah,
they sound like bad allergies, man. I'm so sorry, Tim. You're going to have to carry pretty much this podcast.
There's
I am so down and out.
As far as I know, there's no treatment for allergies either, which is pretty stink. You can kind of like lessen the symptoms a little bit by having, I forget what it's called, but there's certain medications you can get.
Antihistamines.
That's the one, yeah. But like you can't do something to kind of cure your allergies, I guess, because it's it's like a histamine response your body has. What is that? That's part of your...
respiratory?
I think it affects the respiratory, but it's like your the part of the body that attacks viruses and stuff.
Antibodies. Bodies.
Yeah, they're all words. Low light today from Timbo. Rob saying, that wasn't even my low light. That was my low light up until that point, and then something topped it. The low light was Rob saying, I cook, I clean all day, and what do I get? And then dancing around in the circle saying, look what I get, look what I get, look what I get, look what I get, look what I get. No one laughed at that. And it made me very sad. Then I wrote down the note, how does anyone review anything?
Okay. That's an interesting thought to explore.
Do you want to dig into that? Let's dig into that. How does anyone review anything?
What inspired that thought?
The fact that... a similar thing that has happened in previous seasons happened in this watch, which is that you kind of like you lose any grip on your opinion on it. Like you lose all faith on what your read is on the product. So that's kind of a unique position, I guess, we're in by virtue of repeat watches.
Is it what would you describe as like your relationship to the content becomes purely emotional?
And it's not that. It's just that it's untrustworthy. The problem isn't the emotionality of it. It's just like there's no. What value could my take possibly have on anyone else's bearing on whether they should watch this? Because what I'm experiencing is Rob Schneider 6 days a week.
That's not the prism through which you're reviewing this. You're not reviewing this as in a thumbs up or thumbs down.
That's true.
Should you or shouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. But it kind of makes me lose faith in any observation I have about this special. I'm like, is Rob Schneider funny? Is this special actually funny? Am I wrong just because I'm like watching it too much?
Twice, no.
Okay, and here's some other notes. All right, but further to that, like even if you just watch something once, it's like, why do I think what I have to say has value to other people and their decision on whether or not to watch this? Everyone's going to have a different take.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I guess it's like, the thing is, you don't share this opinion with everyone, you know, willy-nilly. You share it with people who specifically have registered an interest in hearing the opinion.
I'm less like a man pissing on a tree in suburban Auckland and more like a man with earbuds in cutting heads at the barber. I'm selective in who I talk to
you're more
and
like,
share with.
You, or at least I feel more like the tree.
Getting pissed on.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly for that tree as well.
Well, at a certain point, you sort of just accept that that's the way that some people are going to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't make it enjoyable when
not
it happens.
Broad daylight on a Tuesday, Monday. That's pretty weird, eh?
Yeah.
Here's another note I wrote down. Rob really loves saying the word noodle in a Chinese accent. He finds a lot of joy in it. He also really loves saying hot coal in a Korean accent.
You know, the way you framed it there, it's not like you're not wrong. I think it's the most happy he is the whole special is saying noodle in a Chinese accent.
Mm.
And I've always sort of taken umbrage with it, but to hear you frame it as it brings him a lot of joy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a slippery slope to putting a foot on, but it almost softens my disdain for it because I'm like, well, here's a guy. Does Rob Schneider deserve? There's a question. Does Rob Schneider deserve happiness?
He does, but I think that means he could go around
getting it
oh so wrong,
and
broadcasting it oh so well. Because like, there's a difference between you being intentionally racist and being racist. You know, you can be racist without intending it.
Yeah,
and that's I think usually born of sort of an ignorance or a blind spot or something. But you know,
there's a willingness to grow and educate yourself or be educated and learn and change.
When you're a performer and a commentator, which like no matter what kind of comedian is, you're broadcasting something. So there's a little bit of a responsibility.
Rob is a bit of a
care.
Commentator, really, isn't he?
In a lot of ways, he is.
Do you know? Like, I wish he had paused for thought. The same way about like no one else's experience of this is going to be the same as mine, so why am I sharing this? How you felt about reviewing? I wish Rob Schneider just took a moment to reflect upon that in his relation to performing stand-up comedy,
being more introspective and questioning his take,
being like, why am I
why am I Rob
why
Schneider?
Am I laying bare my unhappy marriage?
Yeah,
like under the I guess it's because he operates under the assumption this is how all marriages go.
And it's important to speak your truth on stage as
well. As a comedian also, it is important. Like, you know, you are often distilling your version of what is a shared experience for people to enjoy, to feel connected is what you're doing, isn't it?
Like, that's right.
The observations you make, the particulars are different. And this is true of life, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
We are all, like everyone in the world will experience, has got access to the same range of emotions. They're not happening in synchronicity, but we all experience, you know, the same emotions at different times. We're all living a different, we're all living our version of the same experience. The specs are different, but
sorry, go on.
Well, it's very hard to. I guess what I was saying is, sure, we're all different, but in many ways, we're also, I don't know, all the same.
I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams before my eyes in curiosity.
This is true.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Same old song.
Really beautiful.
Drop of ocean.
If we are talking about music, there's a hidden message of thanks to Adam Sandler in this special that I think only the eagle eared might pick up on.
Goodness me, I missed it.
Well,
oh, I know what this is.
You do?
Yeah, The Sandman.
That's right. Roy Orbison's In Dreams, which was voted by Rolling Stone's top 500 songs of all time as the 319th greatest song of all time.
It's not nothing.
It's not nothing. It's a beautiful song. Roy Orbison, a lot of his music actually occurs to him in his sleep, which I always found pretty interesting.
Like, is that right?
Here's an instance of someone who relies on their ability to remember and replicate dreamlike
states.
Like, you know, you think of jokes just as you're nodding off and you're like, I'll get it in the morning, and
so
you never do.
So impossible.
But yeah, the first verse of this, which Rob Schneider takes, opens with a candy-colored clown they call the Sandman.
Yeah.
Tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything's all right.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
That is really sweet.
And I think the song choice is not a coincidence for many reasons. Like,
I guess,
way that they spring it on you, it could say anything.
Yeah.
It could be like, here's my daughter, Al King, to perform the Baha Men who let the dogs out. You know, that makes sense. Like, every decision makes as much sense as the next.
Yeah. Do you think that this is an emotionally stunted man's way, because he can't say it directly to Adam, to like earnestly thank him for 30 years of sustained spotlight in show business? Not wholly, obviously. It's not like his entire career is Adam Sandler's to thank for, but I would say a big component is.
Yeah, I think it's Rob Schneider showing humility and thanks as directly as his sort of, you know, his own wrestle with the kind of guy he is will allow.
That's so sweet, because this comes just after a piece that I wrote down because I wanted to get it verbatim. Welcome to Korean Whorehouse. Come on in. This is the room where you suck your own dick. You suck it. You suck it. You suck it. Then come over this room. You fuck yourself hard. Oh, you get your money's worth in this room.
So he learned from the best. Oh,
that's just before we get into the musical big show business closer.
I thought this would be fun the further along it went.
Hey, another note from Timbo.
You got notes coming out the wazoo, huh?
I really love the piano, especially because he's doing jokes about cheating on his wife and ejaculating on women's backs while soft classical piano music
plays. Do you know
plays.
The best?
That's cool.
The best thing about the piano is he introduced the pianist, Takaru Saito, and he says, he brings him out and everyone applauds him. It's like, okay, obviously something's going to happen. And then the way he throws it away, he's like, you want to play a little something, buddy?
Love that, though. I think that's great. Because it's quite hard to... Look, it's a hard thing to, in the middle of your comedy special, introduce a pianist and, like, weave it all together.
This is his decision. It's not like Netflix imposed this on him.
We don't know that. But I just think it's a nice way to keep rolling, you know? It's like, this special, for all its flaws, of which there are many, well documented in this podcast series alone, pace, I don't think, is an issue for it. Like, it does keep moving along. There are bits where there's repetition, which really fucks me off, where he gets kind of stuck in a bit of a verbal loop.
Little bit.
Nice.
Little bit. You know.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, those would be three good examples. But on the whole, the guy, and I think I said this yesterday, or at least I wrote it down, he transitions between his bits real good. He just keeps wheeling them out.
That's American confidence.
Yeah.
That's the belief that every one of his jokes will get the desired laugh at the desired time, which will create
not
enough
needed.
Buffer. Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with it, but I can't argue with it.
I like that style to just be like, here's my joke. Now, here's another one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's good.
I like that too.
But getting back to the piano thing, I just love the can I say this, juxtaposition of this pretty lowbrow material with a guy in a tuxedo playing really good concert piano for a packed crowd. I've got a real love of that, marrying the high and lowbrow. Like, that's shit that I really dig. And if you just look at it, the concept of it, it's really cool. I don't know if I love what he does with it specifically.
He just like...
Do you know who would do a better job is Norm Macdonald?
Norm Macdonald would never... Norm Macdonald would never do that.
I don't know. Because you're probably right. He's not. He doesn't do, like, gimmicks or any... He's, like, he's quite a purist.
Like, he just, like, writes timeless jokes.
But he would understand exactly
how to deploy it.
Yeah.
I wonder what
Sarah Silverman? Who would be a good comedian to see, like, with a piano, who would kind of know how to, like...
Zach Galifianakis's first special was that.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, it's just a fancier version of someone with a guitar to underscore, like, a bunch of...
I like someone else doing it, because with Zach... It's funny and he does it really well, but there's kind of an element of showing off in a way that is stripped away from you when you have to, like, eat your humble pie and hire someone to do it for you.
It's just one of so many insane choices. Can I tell you something that's been bothering me? I don't know that we've talked about it on the actual podcast. I was complimenting Rob in the previous episode actually for his physical embodiment of a 7-year-old daughter when he says he opens up this room saying, my wife loves the kids so much, so I don't get a lot to do.
It's something like she doesn't trust me.
He does not assume responsibility for much of the parenting because either he doesn't love his kids as much, or his wife finds him untrustworthy, or he's just a lazy guy who just assumes that things will be taken care of on his behalf. Most probably a combination of all three. But he does sleep on the side of the bed which is closest to the door. And so he does have some responsibility, namely when his daughter wakes up, a 7-year-old wakes up from a bad dream, it's up to Rob to decide whether or not it's scary enough to qualify her sleeping in the bed or not.
Can you hear a low rumbling?
Yeah, I think that's the ominous siren that just sounds every day at around 4. It is very distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you take your headphones off, I can't really hear it. Oh, it's a truck backing up, but on the mic it's getting picked up a lot.
Don't worry about it. It's just the ominous siren. So he's in charge, and his daughter comes in and says, I had a bad dream, so I'm going to need to get in there. Yep. And Rob's like, well, let's hear about the dream.
Yep.
She goes, well, I had dinosaurs, so I'm going to have to get in there. And he goes, well, what were the dinosaurs doing? And chasing me. And he goes, nah. Not scary enough. So there's the pullback and reveal.
Yeah.
And it's like within your stand-up set, you've created a dream sequence, which is permission to do anything you want.
A joke is permission to be creative. A joke about a dream, you can build any reality devoid of physics, of believability, anything.
You can, like, you're
wide open.
You're putting a nightmare into a 7-year-old's mind and voice. So why not, like, stretch your legs a little bit instead of literally taking an example from your life and just not changing anything and inserting it into your taped stand-up comedy special? It just drives me nuts. And then, like, I guess on the flip side of that, his closer, which is the big, my wife wouldn't have sex with me, so I got stoned and went and put, dressed up a dessert on my penis because I'd taken a Viagra.
Yeah,
his closer, he does take some creative liberties there where it's like he's describing all the stuff he's putting on himself, and I don't truly believe he's doing any of this stuff.
You don't think he's making a sundae out of his genitals?
Not really, no. And in this instance, he does take a lot of liberties, But again, it's
he,
like...
He says, in the middle of that joke, if we don't have caramel in this kitchen, I'm going to blow my brains out.
If we do.
Oh, if we do have caramel, I'm going to blow my brains out.
He's doing this, but it's like everyone's as interested or invested in the anecdote as him. He's like, you know, usually we got chocolate chips. And there were chocolate chips.
We got to get some chocolate chips at this motherfucker.
Yeah. And it's like, these are the, like, all of, it's just.
This is after, by the way, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
Not at all.
But we haven't brought this up, and it's always pissed me off every time I've seen it. After he reveals that, like, so he can't sleep in his bed because I think eventually he relinquishes it to his daughter to sleep in that bed. Which is funny because I think the whole point is so she can be close to her parents because she's frightened. But
yes.
Okay. He leaves and then describes the situation thusly. I went and found another bedroom that I didn't know I had in my house. A whole other wing I'd never seen before.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, fuck, man. I don't know. There's... It's just a level of out of touch with the audience.
Well, I know, but you can own that as well.
He's
just a man. He's in no man's land.
Yeah, he's telling it like it is for him, I guess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I just also want to criticize the creative flourishes. He's got so little imagination. Like all of his experiences, like there are no embellishments. There's no finesse that goes into the jokes. It's like,
this is why I think he's a commentator. He's not a creative mind. He's telling it like it is. He's analytical,
man. If the world is like if the world is like that,
Are you gonna blow your fucking brains out?
Nah, dog.
Find some caramel, some chocolate
all
chips
to Rob. I you know, I feel better now for having spoken about this than I did at the start of this podcast.
That's really good.
It's insane.
I was watching Rob's, oh no, okay, that's I just wrote down a note about when I saw the guy pissing on the tree. It was during Rob's classic bit about the level of attractiveness being a weather vane for how we should how much effort we put into a relationship. That bit is long. It was a long joke. You say a lot of things about that joke, and one of them is that it is long,
and yet still you believe that the special breezes by
in a way. Because part of pace in comedy is, I don't know, there's something about the transitions, you know, going from idea to idea.
You know what? I don't disagree. Like, every day, it just happens.
Yeah. Just occurs, doesn't it? Like sands through the hourglass, so are the specials of Robin.
I would love to be in the Netflix control room watching the amount of traffic. You know, like, I imagine there's someone whose, like, job it is to watch all the Rob Schneider material.
I would love to get some analytics on this special.
I keep going. I hate going back to it every day on my
it's algorithm. Fucking up our algorithm so good. We're going to get recommended absolute dog shit from here on in. So embarrassing. Yeah, do Netflix know how old we are? Did I ever tell them that? Did I tell them how old I am? I don't know if I did, but I feel like it's something they know.
The specials are 16. So they know you're over 16.
I can't remember ever entering my age, but I reckon I probably did. It was right at the start, I reckon. I've just forgotten when I registered. It was like date of birth, so we can analyze your shit.
Yeah. Man.
Netflix got a lot of data, eh?
Everyone's got data.
They've got a lot on us.
What are they going to do with that data? Their data's just like, here's the shows that you watch.
It governs all their funding decisions. It's like, you know what the people want based on the algorithm? More Rob Schneider specials. And I think that was maybe partially based on the success of The Wrong Missy.
This is what we did to Cats. This is what we're going to do to Schneider.
Yeah.
This is how we get a third season of Real Rob.
Do you miss Cats?
Yeah. I miss the idea of Cats.
Yeah.
I don't think I would miss Cats. I miss Cats.
My flatmates started watching it the other night.
How far they
go. I haven't had a chat to them about it yet.
A lot of people have been telling me they've been watching it lately and not breaking in at all.
And not breaking in.
They can't get in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, you're right. They bailed after 10 minutes. They said too weird. Couldn't handle it. Too weird. After 10 men. It's too freaky for them.
Within 10 minutes. Like, I think Jellicle Cats is a slapping opening number, but then you do get into the naming of cats.
Oh, which is the like, naming which of cats comes so early and it's so
brutal.
It's
a real spacey sort of graveyard number. I mean, Tim, I think this is meant to be a Schneider safe space, and we don't need to distract ourselves by introducing the world of T.S. Eliot, Andrew Lloyd Webber, the great Robbie Fairchild.
And Tom Hooper. A local legend, because I think he's still in New Zealand.
He might have left. Tom Hooper's been all of lockdown in New Zealand. I have it on very good authority.
Oh, not just good authority. You have evidence.
Yeah,
we probably can't talk about it, but
it's not illegal evidence. The way Tim's framing it is.
I don't know. Touch and go. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Anyway,
you know what I know? That I don't know.
Hashtag Hooper on holiday. If you've got snaps, send them in.
Let's track him down.
We've got.
Tell me one thing you enjoyed about the watch today, a shining light, if you will. What's that from? Voices going, ha, 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 ha.
I hated the little dance he did on his way out to the mic.
Oh, wait, this is not a shining light. Mr. Montgomery, the class is going nowhere until I get an answer from you. We've got all day.
Not my time.
It's not my time. It's your time. Kiora, Talofa.
It's the when he gets Al King out, and they sing Roy Orbison's "In Dreams."
There was your shining light.
Why would you like? Why would you put this trap door in front of me to escape the fucking record, man?
Mate. It's fine. If that's your shining light, that's your shining light. Just like Rob Schneider, you've got to speak your truth to the people.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a cultural commentator.
Yeah, you are.
My specialty field, Rob Schneider.
Did I do one?
You spoke so much about the fucking special.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you make it sound like it's a bad thing, but, you know, I think it was quite a good thing. I enjoyed the joy that Rob found in doing his Asian accents, which is, I hasten to add, critically different from enjoying the accents themselves.
You're a sweetheart, Tim, and it's the road to hell is paved with finding joy in other people's joy.
Okay, everybody, we will catch you on the next episode, our final of Overlooked and Undercooked, the Schneider Special.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.